You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
It's Second Amendment Radio in the great outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. That's Mark Cox right next to me. We got Carl Middleman, our executive producer. There he is right there. And this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory in De Pere on Manchester Road. I've been in there quite a bit, Mark. I'm eyeballing my next suppressor. And I also was in there to get a firearm repaired. And while you're on vacation in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to talk to Jesse and find out exactly what he did with my firearm. I was in there recently because he was donating. Normally, they donate a home defense shotgun because Joe Biden said, shoot two blasts in the sky and then you're good.
Yeah, I've got
following
orders.
Yeah, exactly. And pause. And see what I did there?
I did.
Oh, that was great. This year, Mark, they leveled up. And we've had this Bo Matthews Glock special going on at Razorback Armory. Although people don't retain exactly that they need to say Bo Matthews to get the extra Glock swag, what they've done is they have donated a Glock 19. I think they called it a G19. It's a beautiful firearm, $655 retail. So at the Poker Bash, we are Armin' America. We'll have, I think, four guns total to raffle at the event.
Nice.
At the event. You've got to be there at that event.
You have to be there to win?
Those. Now, we have the other two. We have the Henry, which you bought tickets for. Carl bought tickets for.
Yes, yes.
The Henry 22 long rifle. That's a beautiful firearm. It's a piece of art. And we also have a Sig Sauer P365 NRA edition that will be drawn for. I've still got tickets. If you want tickets for that, just get a hold of me through Facebook, and we can figure out how to meet up or Venmo or whatever. But, yeah, we're gearing up.
Call me. We'll have cell service in Italy, so you can call me and tell me I won. That'd be great.
Oh,
that'd be good.
I hope your fork is full of spaghetti and you're about ready to take a big bite and you see my number jump up on your phone. That would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Only 7 hours ahead.
So tell us a little bit more. Remind people of when the bash is and all that good stuff. Because I tell you, I have enjoyed playing in that the last 2 years. The first year I played, it was actually on my wedding anniversary. You did it in the end of March. Remember that?
Yeah,
and I got a kitchen pass to go down there and play on my wedding anniversary. I think fell on a Sunday for some reason.
It did.
And then last year I went and it was at the community center. This year it's at the Holiday Inn out at Six Flags. So tell people a little bit more about it.
Okay, people frown when I say it's on Cinco de Mayo. It is May 5th. That's the day we picked. And if you like your, tacos and nachos and margaritas, don't worry. We got you covered with, great donors from some of the Mexican restaurants around the area, and even Super Smokers got involved. So we're going to have pulled pork tacos, pulled pork nachos, the whole fare, refried beans, chips, salsa, queso. We're going to have great desserts. But here's the deal. If you love Texas Hold'em, this is your game, because if you love going to play, I just don't go to the actual casinos to play. It's too intimidating. I don't know anybody. It's weird. Mark, you've been there. It's like a giant house game. Everybody's kind. Some of those players from the casinos do come out, and sometimes they do well, but
they'll clean your house for you. That's what they'll do.
They could, but this is a tournament, so everybody starts at the same dollar amount.
Right. I'm saying the casinos. There's some sharks out there, but everybody's in a great mood at this poker bash. They're all having a good time. A few people have bounties on them. I did, which put a big target on my back. Everybody's trying to knock me out because they wanted the $50 kicker that went along with it.
we do put bounties on some people. We'll have that Glock that Razorback Armory donated, plus I think we have three or four other guns that we're gonna do there live But then we have the Henry and the Sig Sauer that people have been buying tickets leading up to it. The thing is we need players, and we would love to have you play our game. If you've never done it, or maybe you've heard about it, make this year the year to do it. You can sign up on Eventbrite by going to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund Facebook page. Click right through. It's $50 to sign up online, and I think they shut that down a few days early before the event. And then you can go there the day of if you'd like. Maybe you don't know if you have the day open or not. It's $60 at the door as a donation, but that includes everything, your beverages, your food, the game, and then a really cool silent auction as well. And you, as a matter of fact, you got the you got a couple of things last year at the silent auction.
It was awesome, yeah. I think I got a membership to St. Louis Skeet and Trap, and I'm trying to remember what the other one was that I got. My wife could tell me because... she remembers. You always go to those she things and you spend a lot of money. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's why you go, right? You're going to have a good time.
It's for charity.
Yeah. It's a great thing, though. It's what, $60 at the door if you go, but you can
get $60 at the door.
That buys you all your chips, right? I mean, that's a donation to the charity, basically. And then you sit at your table and everybody starts with the same amount of chips. And you have as good a chance as anyone else.
You really do. It's all in the cards. And, you know, if you love to go play bunco or bingo or do whatever, and you like to just do some of these things, come on out. Matter of fact, when you get checked in, if you sign up online or you pay at the door, when you check in, they're going to offer you, I think it's another $5,000 for your pocket in play money for like a $5 donation.
Oh,
so
nice.
So everybody pretty much starts at the same level except for those that pay for that, you know, that extra bump that, you know, $5 or whatever. But it all goes to the Eureka Police Officer Support Fund. They've got big things happening with them, building the new police department and the jail. And we're going to build, actually, our fund is supporting the equipment in their gym that they're going to have that they've never had before, and also a simulator for gun training for law enforcement, for Eureka and surrounding areas. They all get to use it, and it's going to be state of the art for them. So really, it comes down to players. If you've got friends you hunt with or you play cards with, come on out. It's May 5th. Doors open at 11:30. The game starts at 1. Mark won't be there, but I've been begging for Kim St. Ange to do the stunt double job. Or Mark, Carl, maybe you could be a stunt double.
I have to talk to the person in charge of that day.
That would be his wife.
Yeah.
That's a smart man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Smart man. Checking in.
I'll check in.
I got my locator on my ring finger, too.
You know, Bo, why don't you give us an update? Speaking of Eureka, Brookdale Farms got some damage from that storm the other day, right?
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up, because we had the poker bash there, you know, a few years ago, quite a few times. And in the venue that got destroyed by that tornado or storm that rolled through, and matter of fact, the text went out shortly after and we realized nobody got hurt, that it's a good thing we didn't book it over there. Because that building is gone or, you know, destroyed. So we're safely going to be held up at the Holiday in Eureka, which I think, you know what? I might get a hotel night. I mean, ooh, you're right there. A few bucks, you know, enjoy your margaritas and stay right there at the hotel. I think it's a good selling point.
It's a good point. So I hope people get online. You said they can go to the Facebook page for the Eureka Police Officers Association. Is that right?
That's right. And some people might say, I don't go on Facebook. Well, get your phone ready. I've got a number for you. It's 314-650-8864. Just call that number. And you can also stop in at Realty Executives Premier in Eureka and sign up there, buy raffle tickets, drop off donations. We'll take any donations. We're getting close, a week away.
Give us the number one more time.
314-650-8864, or go to Eventbrite and search 8th Annual Big Dogs Poker Bash, and you can sign up right there.
Nice, nice. So, Bo Matthews, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago. You invited me out to the world's biggest yard sale. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
There in Eureka, the parking lot at Six Flags about a month ago, wasn't it? And
Yeah. A couple months ago.
Yeah, was it March? Anyway, we were out there, and Bo says, I got to show you something. And he walks me over to this table, folding table, and there are bags, like gallon-size zippered bags of what looks like huge bags of marijuana, like stacked
That's
up.
Right.
On this table, and we had been talking about it, and the police went over there and looked at it because they're like, What are you trying to do here, guys? What do you sell? And they're like, oh, it's hemp. It's Delta 8. It's okay. So they
was that the Delta 8?
They went back and looked. Yeah, I had the chief on this week talking about it from Lake St. Louis, Chris DiGiuseppe. And he was talking, they've got a huge problem with this in Missouri. There's a bill in the legislature that would regulate and in many cases ban this stuff without regulation. Because right now it's got trace amounts of THC in it, which is the intoxicant in marijuana, but that's it's right. It's a low enough level that they treat it like hemp, and you can't
and CBD,
regulate it,
right
in CBD stuff. So people are able to sell this stuff, and they figured out a way to concentrate the THC that is in it to make it. So apparently, you can smoke it and still get some effects from it. But there, you don't have to go to a dispensary. I mean, it's completely unregulated. The police are really worried about it, and particularly the fact that they're afraid young kids are getting a hold of it and all this stuff because they're being told it's lesser than marijuana. But in some cases, it's been infused with this THC, and it's a higher amount. So they're actively right now trying to pass a law so that they can crack down on it.
You know what? I didn't realize. I thought that guy was all about CBD out there. And I would guess any flea market has got, you know, vendors like that.
Sure.
Putting that out there. But yeah, and I'd heard some of the reports about, you know, kids going to the hospital or urgent care because they weren't feeling well or they, you know, may have been poisoned, quote unquote. I didn't know that. I didn't realize that the guy out there was doing that. It was odd to see for sure. You know, it was odd because, like you said, there's bags and bags. I'm like, hold on. I know it's legal in the state of Missouri, but like that?
Well, I also talked to the chief about the sobriety field test for marijuana for being intoxicated. Driving while intoxicated on anything is against the law. With marijuana specifically, he tells me, because of this thing was put into the Missouri Constitution, it now specifically forbids police from stopping you and testing you just based on the smell. So you walk up to the car, they roll the window down, smells like a skunk died, and you're not allowed to assume that they've been smoking pot. You have to give them a field sobriety test, and you have to be very careful about how you do it. Apparently, if you're drawing blood, it has to be drawn within, what do you say, 60 minutes or 90 minutes or something like that. It's a tight time frame, and there's no effective field sobriety test. Like you'd blow into a breathalyzer, it doesn't work like that with pot. So they're still experimenting with how to crack down on this because, you know, like I know, you're driving down the road, you see it blowing out of the window, and there's somebody in front of you getting stoned while they drive. You couldn't drive down there with a bottle of bourbon doing that. You'd be getting all kinds of trouble.
Maybe the first giveaway, the first tell would be that they're going 12 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone.
Or they just pulled out a Taco Bell, one of the two, right?
You know, isn't it weird, though, when you go to major concerts and venues, because weed is legal in the state of Missouri recreationally and Illinois, you walk up to a venue and you smell it all the time.
Yeah.
Going to a Blues game or a Cardinal, it's like, well, I don't think it's legal like that in public.
It's not. And the black market is thriving because they've jacked the taxes on it up so much that it's still cheaper to buy it from somebody down the street than going into a dispensary. So anyway. Hey, by the way, speaking of hearing things and smelling things, cicadas are coming, right? You're gonna see them, and I don't know if you'll smell them, but you're gonna hear them soon. We got an author coming up who specifically wrote a book because she knows little kids are going to be terrified of it. We'll tell you all about the Cicadas Don't Bug Me book and talk to the author when we come back.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We'll be right back.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, alongside my partner here, Mark Cox, and we have been hearing some headlines about cicadas coming back and the double whammy this year. And I've thought about it, and I've lived through it back, I don't know when it was, in the early 2000s or late 90s?
No. The last time was around 2009, maybe, I think.
Okay.
It's like every 13 years
or
so.
Here's how I know that, because my now 16-year-old was about 2 years old. She was walking around very well at that point. And her older sister, who was 12 years older than her, was terrified of the cicadas. And I taught my 2-year-old that they're not harmful, and that if you just pick them up by their wings, you can carry them around and they'll still make their little buzzing sound, and it's funny. And she would pick the cicadas up and chase her older sister with the cicadas. So I know that it was around 2009 the last time they were here. Yeah.
Well, but the first time I saw it was, I think, in the 90s, and that makes sense if it's every so many years. So, ironically, it has been kind of, you know, lingering in my brain. And then I get this email from Kristen Jeske, and she says, hey, I've got a great story for you. And she has a book she wrote called Cicadas Don't Bug Me. And she is our guest because this show is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And we want to find out if they're dangerous. Can you dip them in chocolate and eat them? Or are they going to affect you on the motorcycle or whatever? So, Kristen, we made it happen quickly because I don't know when this is going to happen. Welcome to the show, ma'am. How are you?
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So are you an expert on cicadas?
So I am. I do not consider myself an expert, but I have become an accidental aficionado on cicadas. I have studied them deeply and have learned all sorts of fun facts. But my main desire is just to teach parents and children not to be afraid of the cicadas.
And that is because you remember in your childhood when this happened, and you yourself were pretty terrified of them, I'm guessing.
Well, in 1987, I lived in the Washington, D.C. area, and we had just like, it seemed like a biblical plague of cicadas. They were everywhere. And so my older sister and I, we experienced the cicadas in a very different way, much as what you were just saying about your daughters. My sister was terrified and barricaded herself in the home, and I tend to do the opposite of whatever she does. So I was very curious and was out there learning about them and really exploring what these creatures are. And so the book is dedicated to my sister because she has a strong dislike of cicadas, and I love my sister enough to then dedicate a book written solely about cicadas to her.
Is this your one and only book that you've written, or have you written others?
I have others. This is the first book I ever wrote that's a children's book. And then I have a book called Joro Spiders Don't Scare Me. And it's about these giant spiders that are invasive to really the East Coast, but the Southeast. But they'll be spreading kind of across the country over the next decade or so.
Wow. Yeah.
So do you have a book in your repertoire called Politicians Don't Bug Me? That would be good.
I might need to add that. That would be timely for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, let's talk about the subject at hand. When can we expect these cicadas to enter the Midwest or to come from the ground and invade the Midwest? And how big is it going to be?
So that's a really great question. And it's kind of a question that experts everywhere are guessing and putting dates out there, and their dates are normally wrong. Cicadas emerge when the soil, 8 inches below the soil, is 64 degrees. And I know in Missouri, you guys, your soil temperatures are in the 50s right now. So if they heat up in the next few days, if you have just a warm streak, then you can expect to see the cicadas early. But typically when they appear is mid-May.
Okay, so we know they're coming, and this is the 17-year plague. Is that what they're referring to this as?
Well, it depends where you specifically are, but St. Louis area, they'll get the brood 19 cicadas, and those are actually 13-year cicadas. And then a little north of you, there will be the 17-year cicadas, which are brood 13. And those two broods, it's really a phenomenon that hasn't happened since Thomas Jefferson has been alive. But there will be a convergence of those two broods near Springfield, Illinois, so not too far from you.
Wow. I think that's great. So let's talk for a minute about the book. And what age group are you targeting here?
So really, I like to say it's from 3 to 12 years old, but it's really found a market with parents that are fearful themselves. So really, any age can benefit from this book.
And the important message is there's really nothing to fear. I mean, I was able to teach my 2-year-old that. They look ugly and they make strange noises, but they don't bite, they don't sting. There's really nothing about them that you should be afraid of, except that they have wings and they look scary.
Right. You perfectly captured this. And the book talks about the fact that they do not bite. They do not sting. In fact, their mouths are shaped like a tube of a straw. So they're not harmful. There's just a lot of them. So the purpose of the book is to teach children fascination instead of fear, or wonder instead of worry. We want children and parents to be curious instead of fearful when they meet these special bugs.
Kristen Jeschke is our guest. She's the author of Cicadas Don't Bug Me, which is available, and you'll be able to get it Barnes & Noble, distributed in their physical stores. There's different ways you can get it. We'll tell you about that in just a moment, but it is weird. Do we know why this happens, or is it just one of the mysteries of God?
Well, I think in large part, it's one of the mysteries of God. Cicadas were created in every aspect with purpose, and are very cool creatures. And so they actually have the longest life cycle of any insect, because 17 years underground is a very long time, or 13 years underground. So we don't know, but there are so many things about their creation that are protective in nature. And one of those is that they emerge in such large numbers. They tend to have anything is their natural predator. And so when they emerge in such large numbers, it helps them to be able to breed and create future cicadas and ensures that their life cycle continues.
That's weird. I don't know what it is about, if I've clicked on snake videos or something on my Facebook feed, but I keep getting these stories that show up on my feed that copperhead snakes love cicadas. And that certain snakes, if you see them in your yard, you should leave them alone, particularly copperheads, because it could bite you. But that snakes particularly love these invasions because, of course, the cicadas attach themselves to trees, I guess, and the snakes can get a fairly easy meal.
Right. There has been a lot of viral content circulating specifically about copperheads and snakes. And I think although we should always be cautious of venomous snakes, for the most part, snakes just want to help us keep insects from overwhelming our environment. So I think we just need to be respectful of nature. But they are favorite snacks of snakes. Even fish, birds, a lot of people report their dogs eat them. Pretty much anything that is bigger than a cicada will prey on it.
Okay, so let's stay with that theme, Kristen. Are they edible to humans? Because Bill Gates says we're going to be eating bugs in a few years, you know, all over the planet, and some cultures already do that. Do people eat cicadas in any shape or form, or dipped in chocolate or whatever?
So they absolutely are edible. I have not been brave enough to venture into that cuisine, but they absolutely are edible. They can be cooked in many different ways. As you say, they can be dipped in chocolate. One caution is that they do have allergic effect that is similar to what someone with a shellfish allergy would have. So if you have shellfish allergies, you're not going to want to sample cicadas. But I have read that they are a great substitute for shrimp and are very similar in texture and taste.
Like, do you have to shell them? Is that what happens? Because you would want to get the crunchy part off. I don't even know. I can't even imagine why we're talking about this. Who in the hell would eat one of these things?
Sounds delicious.
Well, people dip them in chocolate. They fry them. They eat all parts of them. So.
How hard up are you in the Biden economy that you're having to eat cicadas? I'm sorry. Man alive.
Wow.
So I did find from Montclair State University, I don't even know where that is, a press release they put out May 19th of 2021. Yes, cicadas are safe to eat, and they're delicious. You can harvest them and cook them, it says here. No, thank you. I'm sorry.
You can scoop them with a shovel. There's that many. The first time I saw them, I was in Peebly on a motorcycle ride, and my face had already been pelted by so many. And this entire gas station, the entire everything, walls, gas pumps, everything was completely covered, and it freaked me out. It was like biblical. It was like a biblical plague. How long do they last? That's what I want to know. How long do they stay above ground and freak us all out?
That's a great question. It's a very brief time period. It's usually 4 to 6 weeks. So they'll be gone just as you're starting the summer and summer vacations. Now, their shells will be around for a long time, though.
Yeah. Well,
it's like mulch.
It actually feeds the soil. It has nutrients that feed the soil. So in that, it also has purpose.
Well, Christian Jeske, we appreciate you giving us this information today. Cicadas Don't Bug Me is the name of the book. Can I assume it's available on Amazon as well?
It is. Yes, absolutely.
Nice. Well, I'm sure that it's going to probably sell out because there will be a lot of kids scared to death in just a few weeks when these things start popping out.
I am thankful that children will be helped to not be worried.
Well, very
good.
Yeah,
you really did a nice job on the book because it's a really quick read. It's just a bunch of bullet points and a bunch of cool photography. Did you actually do the photography of the bugs?
No. I wish I could say I did, but thankfully, in the 2021 emergence of cicadas, there were some just brilliant photographers that took a lot of pictures that are available for use. And so it is very beneficial to show children actual photos of the insects so they know what to expect. So it's a privilege to get to carry those in my book.
Very good. Kristen, thanks for your time.
Oh, thank you guys so much. I appreciate being on the show.
Absolutely. Best of luck with the book. You know, I want? You know what I want you to do?
Well, we'll talk to her again in 14 years, I guess. I think that's the time frame. There'll be a sequel. A recipe book. A recipe book. Come on, Kristen.
Oh, man.
Good
All
stuff.
Right, Kristen. Yeah, thank you.
What was your question for me, sir?
So my question for you is I want you to put a ring camera or a live camera on the thought tub. And you can edit it appropriately depending on how clothed you are or unclothed when you get in there. But I want your reaction on camera the first time you get swarmed by these things during your either morning or evening trip to the tub. Because it's coming.
I don't even know what...
You're going to go out there and find them floating in there if you're not careful.
True. I don't even know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
They'll be dead then, though.
I won't be supple like I have claimed to be.
I know, you won't. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. The name of the book, Cicadas Don't Bug Me. Look it up, get it, and support this author. She's a great personality, and she did it out of the kindness of her heart for her family. Isn't that nice?
That is so nice. It really is. You know who else does that? Dave Murray. Works for free. Did you know that? Never.
Is that, well,
no
I do.
Ever.
I did. I didn't know. I didn't know he did too.
Well, temperatures matters on when these cicadas come out. We will talk to the one and only meteorologist Dave Murray about what to expect in our spring weather when we come back. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back. And if you're talking about riding the storm out, who better to ride it out with than Dave Murray? How about that? Our own meteorologist, Dave Murray, on the air with us right now. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great.
You
always
great.
Willing to ride the storm out.
Nice. Glad to hear it. Yeah. You know, we just had a guest on talking about the cicada invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Are you facing that out in your neck of the woods or not?
No, this is going to be mainly the Midwest into the Ohio Valley, into the Northeast. We're kind of the bullseye. Not quite, but we're kind of the bullseye. We've gone through it before. There's been great invasions of cicadas. There was a big batch in the 50s. And what they do, they emerge out of the ground. They crawl up the tree. Yeah. They sing like crazy to attract the opposite sex. And they do their thing. And then they die. Kind of a great life.
It is a great life, isn't it? Well, some of them die and some of them go into the ground for 17 more years, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, they're breeding is basically what they're doing. And there's 17-year cicadas, there's 11-year cicadas, there's 5 years. Yeah, it's just not one surge of cicadas that comes out. They're around almost every, and then there's the annual cicadas that come out every year. But there was a big batch in the 50s across St. Louis, and they sprayed the crap out of everything.
Wow.
And
oh, boy.
That's one of the reasons why there are areas in St. Louis that don't get a lot of cicadas, that they basically did them in.
Hmm.
But yeah, you know, it's been a long time since the 50s, so they're starting to make a strong comeback. But yeah, you know, some people say, you know what? I get used to it after a while. Other people go, it's driving me crazy, and they're delicious to eat.
So it's pretty infrequent, is what you're saying. It's almost like they're married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll let you carry through with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
good luck with that, buddy. So Dave, you know, we come to you for, you know, the things that are happening in the sky, but our expert that we had on, Kristen Jeschke, she said that when the ground temperature at 8 inches below the surface reaches 65 degrees is when they emerge.
Okay.
Do you have much information on ground temperature?
They've been fluctuating, and the gardeners will tell us the same thing, is that you know, we don't really see that happen consistently until about the middle of May. So it's coming quickly, but in a couple more weeks, I think we'll start to really see them come out. You can't miss them if you're observant around trees. You'll see them all over the place, and then we'll start to hear them, and then they're going to be around for quite a while.
I know, you know, a lot of people come to you right before winter hits and, you know, predict the winter for us, Dave Murray.
Yeah.
Can you predict us the spring storm business, the summertime weather forecast? I mean, like, are we in an El Nino, an El Nina? What? I don't know. That's your world.
We are quickly coming out of El Nino. In fact, we're out. El Nino was a one-and-done deal. It was kind of what I call a head fake El Nino, because the temperatures, ocean temperatures in the Pacific, are quite warm. So it was kind of a reaction to that. And now we're somewhere around a neutral going to La Nina. La Nina will be taking over as we get into the summertime and probably hold with us maybe right through next winter. But El Nino was not much of an event. It was relatively weak, but you know, it changed the patterns, no question about it, for the winter. And now what we're doing, I'm still working on the summer forecast. That's coming out in May. But the spring forecast was really focused on April for severe weather. And that has proven to be quite true. We've got a couple more rounds coming over the weekend. But May, things will calm down a little bit. But May is still a very active month. I just don't think it's going to be as active as April has been for us. And we've seen a lot of stuff. We've seen some large hail that we normally don't get in the St. Louis area. We've seen up to some tennis ball size hail, some baseball size hail. Had a pretty good small tornado outbreak that last event that we had on the 18th. And, you know, so
I was actually driving to Mark's bourbon tasting at the Clayton Wine House, and I'm like, you know, I'm so glad I'm in Clayton, because all this stuff is to the south of me and to the north of me.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If I stick with Mark, I think I'm pretty much safe.
Well, is it sticking with Mark or is it the bourbon?
It was probably the bourbon.
You both. Anyway.
Yeah, so things should calm down a little bit in May, but the summer, a prelim, I'll give you an exclusive here because I am still working on it, but the summer looks like an absolute beast over the middle of the country.
Whoa, that means heat.
What does that mean?
Heat?
That means a lot of heat.
Boy.
And it could be, we're going to have our spat with humidity, but it could mean a lot of dry heat. That's when we get this flow out of the southwest instead of the Gulf of Mexico due from the south, we get this dry heat. And it tends to boost our temperatures big time. Now, what it also does, it allows the temperatures to cool off a little bit at night when we're in a very humid pattern. The temperatures stay way high at night. So we're going to see some fluctuation on a 24-hour basis. But it is looking like a, it's just looking really hot. The hurricane season going into the fall looks like it could be one of the worst that we've seen in maybe 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good. The insurance industries are all battening down. You know, I've heard some nightmares along the Gulf Coast, particularly Florida, for people that live down there and how much their insurance rates have gone up.
Oh, yeah. Insurance rates are going up all over the place. But Florida, there's a lot of companies that have just pulled out.
Yep.
They're saying, sorry, we can't do this anymore. And that's happening out in the West also. And, in the severe weather in the middle of the country, that we may start to see that happen pretty soon, too.
No kidding. You know, David, a little off the subject for us here in the middle of the country, but I've wondered about this. I've watched all of the severe weather, the rain events that they've had there in California. They had a serious drought for a long time. I know there were reservoirs that were almost empty and they were all freaking out about it. Has that all been replenished because of the weather the last year or so?
We've had two very wet winters. Just where I am, we've had 22 inches of rain last winter and we're at about 21 inches this winter, which is a lot of rain for Southern California. And Northern California had a big, big snowpack still very much in place. The melting is just starting there. So the reservoirs are in good shape. The problem with the drought out west is it's twofold. One is, do we have a surplus of rain? Do we have a lack of rain? Actually, I'm going to say there's three problems. That's one. The other is there's just too many people. And the water usage between people and agriculture is a real push-pull. It's a war. For the most part, you've probably read a lot about water wars and things like that. The other thing is that they have not been very good about collecting rainwater. It all rolls into the ocean or it rolls into streams that roll into the ocean. They're starting to get their handle on that a little bit, but these are huge projects. I mean, they're trying to capture millions and millions and millions of gallons of rainwater. But that's the biggest problem in the West is people and the usage of water.
Dave, I'd like to ask about Lake Mead. Has Lake Mead come up in level? Because
it's come
last time
up
I was in Vegas.
Yeah, it's come up a lot. I don't think it's at 100% by any means, but it has come up a lot, which is part of the cycling process that the whole country goes through. There are very dry years and there are very wet years. And the El Nino winter had something to do with that. But the winter before that was a La Nina winter, which was also very, very wet. So you can't take some of these ocean patterns and say, this is exactly what's going to happen. Everyone is different, just like every weather event is different.
You know, you are top of mind. Anytime I see some crazy weather, dust storm in the Middle East or whatever. But I saw the flooding in Dubai. And, there's a lot of, it's so funny. My wife pointed out that Instagram reels are not real sometimes. So you got to be careful. But all the flooding, I thought of you and I thought, man, Dave would know something about this because they're talking about the cloud seeding technology in the desert and all that stuff. It interested you, though, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I love seeing weather video around the world. It really brings everything in a little bit closer. But, just some wicked thunderstorms that got parked right over the city. And so it rained and it rained and it rained and the storms trained. So they were going over the same area time after time. And they got, a couple of years of rain in one day, something like that.
Well, Dave, I tell you, man, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time, and we will be looking forward to that summer forecast, although I'm guessing the first thing we need to do is probably check our air conditioners if you're
correct. Yeah, well, this time of year, it's always a good thing, and we've had up and down temperatures here, as far as the spring is concerned. We've had some hot weather, well into the 80s to near 90. We've had some very cool weather where daytime highs have been in the 50s. So you don't think about that so much, but this is the time to check the AC units, make sure they're running. And even if you think it's running fine, you should always get a little checkup. It doesn't cost very much.
Bart Inman says, call him.
That's right. There you go.
He's a great supporter. just call
or
me.
Brian Eggers.
Or any of our fine retailers
and advertisers.
There's lots of companies that help us out.
There are. Well, Dave, thank you so much. And if you're a gardener, make sure you have plenty of water on hand. Maybe collect some of that with rain collection bins and stuff. Because if it's going to be that
rain
hot.
Barrels. Love them.
Absolutely. Yep, good stuff. Well, great to have you on, Dave. Thank you. Always a pleasure to have you.
You got it. Anytime. Take care.
You bet. Absolutely. Meteorologist Dave Murray there giving us a little bit of a preview for the spring. I don't know what's left of the turkey season and getting into this very hot summer. No doubt about it.
Yeah, he's such a class act.
Man, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, but you're looking forward to Bo hosting the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. A little vacay for me, Bo Matthews. I'll see you back here in about 2 weeks.
Enjoy your trip. Safe travels, my friend. Take a lot of pictures.
I will send them all back for sure. That'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Welcome back. And if you're talking about riding the storm out, who better to ride it out with than Dave Murray? How about that? Our own meteorologist, Dave Murray, on the air with us right now. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing great. Willing to ride the storm out.
Nice. Glad to hear it. Yeah. We just had a guest on talking about the cicada invasion.
Mm-hmm.
Are you facing that out in your neck of the woods or not?
No, this is going to be mainly the Midwest into the Ohio Valley, into the Northeast. We're kind of the bullseye. Not quite, but we're kind of the bullseye. We've gone through it before. There's been great invasions of cicadas. There was a big batch in the 50s. And what they do, they emerge out of the ground. They crawl up the tree. Yeah. They sing like crazy to attract the opposite sex. And they do their thing. And then they die. Kind of a great life.
It is a great life, isn't it? Well, some of them die and some of them go into the ground for 17 more years, right?
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, they're breeding is basically what they're doing. And there's 17-year cicadas, there's 11-year cicadas, there's 5 years. Yeah, it's just not one surge of cicadas that comes out. They're around almost every, and then there's the annual cicadas that come out every year. But there was a big batch in the 50s across St. Louis, and they sprayed the crap out of everything.
Wow.
And oh, boy. That's one of the reasons why there are areas in St. Louis that don't get a lot of cicadas, that they basically did them in.
Hmm.
It's been a long time since the 50s, so they're starting to make a strong comeback. But yeah, some people say, you know what? I get used to it after a while. Other people go, it's driving me crazy. And they're delicious to eat.
So it's pretty infrequent is what you're saying. It's almost like they're married.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'll let you carry through with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead,
good luck
Bowen.
With that, buddy. So Dave, you know, we come to you for, you know, the things that are happening in the sky, but our expert that we had on, Kristen Jeschke, she said that when the ground temperature at 8 inches below the surface reaches 65 degrees is when they emerge.
Okay.
Do you have much information on ground temperature?
They've been fluctuating, and the gardeners will tell us the same thing, is that we don't really see that happen consistently until about the middle of May. So it's coming quickly, but in a couple more weeks, I think we'll start to really see them come out. You can't miss them if you're observant around trees. You'll see them all over the place, and then we'll start to hear them. And then they're going to be around for quite a while.
I know, you know, a lot of people come to you right before winter hits and, you know, predict the winter for us, Dave Murray. Yeah. Can you predict us the spring storm business, the summertime weather forecast? I mean, like, are we in an El Nino, an El Nina? What, I don't know. That's your world.
We are quickly coming out of El Nino. In fact, we're out. El Nino was a one and done deal. It was kind of what I call a head fake El Nino because the temperatures, ocean temperatures in the Pacific are quite warm. So it was kind of a reaction to that. And now we're somewhere around a neutral going to La Nina. La Nina will be taking over as we get into the summertime and probably hold with us maybe right through next winter. But El Nino was not much of an event. It was relatively weak, but you know, it changed the patterns, no question about it, for the winter. And now what we're doing, I'm still working on the summer forecast. That's coming out in May. But the spring forecast was really focused on April for severe weather. And that has proven to be quite true. We've got a couple more rounds coming over the weekend. But May, things will calm down a little bit. But May is still a very active month. I just don't think it's going to be as active as April has been for us. And we've seen a lot of stuff. We've seen some large hail that we normally don't get in the St. Louis area. We've seen up to some tennis ball size hail, some baseball size hail. Had a pretty good small tornado outbreak that last event that we had on the 18th. And, you know, so
I was actually driving to Mark's bourbon tasting at the Clayton Wine House, and I'm like, you know, I'm so glad I'm in Clayton because all this stuff is to the south of me and to the north of me. Yeah, you know, if I stick with Mark, I think I'm pretty much safe.
Well, is it sticking with Mark or is it the bourbon?
It was probably the bourbon.
You both. Anyway.
Yeah, so things should calm down a little bit in May, but the summer, a prelim, I'll give you an exclusive here because I am still working on it, but the summer looks like an absolute beast over the middle of the country.
Oh, that means heat.
What does that mean?
Heat?
That means a lot of heat. Boy. And it could be, we're going to have our spat with humidity, but it could mean a lot of dry heat. That's when we get this flow out of the southwest, instead of the Gulf of Mexico due from the south, we get this dry heat and it tends to boost our temperatures big time. Now, what it also does, it allows the temperatures to cool off a little bit at night when we're in a very humid pattern. The temperatures stay way high at night. So we're going to see some fluctuation on a 24-hour basis, but it is looking like a... it's just looking really hot. The hurricane season going into the fall looks like it could be one of the worst that we've seen in maybe 20 years.
Wow. Yeah, that's not good. The insurance industries are all battening down. You know, I've heard some nightmares along the Gulf Coast, particularly Florida, for people that live down there and how much their insurance rates have gone up.
Insurance rates are going up all over the place. And but Florida, there's a lot of companies that have just pulled out. Yep. They're saying, yep, sorry, we can't do this anymore. And that's happening out in the West also. And, you know, in the severe weather in the middle of the country, that we may start to see that happen pretty soon, too.
No kidding. You know, David, a little off the subject for us here in the middle of the country, but I've wondered about this. I've watched all of the severe weather, the rain events that they've had there in California. They had a serious drought for a long time. I know there were reservoirs that were almost empty and they were all freaking out about it. Has that all been replenished because of the weather the last year or so?
We've had two very wet winters. Just where I am, we've had 22 inches of rain last winter and we're at about 21 inches this winter, which is a lot of rain for Southern California. And Northern California had a big, big snowpack still very much in place. The melting is just starting there. So the reservoirs are in good shape. The problem with the drought out west is it's twofold. One is, do we have a surplus of rain? Do we have a lack of rain? Actually, I'm going to say there's three problems. That's one. The other is there's just too many people. And the water usage between people and agriculture is a real push-pull. It's a war. For the most part, you've probably read a lot about water wars and things like that. The other thing is that they have not been very good about collecting rainwater. It all rolls into the ocean. and rolls into streams that roll into the ocean. They're starting to get their handle on that a little bit, but these are huge projects. I mean, they're trying to capture millions and millions and millions of gallons of rainwater. But that's the biggest problem in the West is people and the usage of water.
Dave, I'd like to ask about Lake Mead. Has Lake Mead come up in level? Because the last time I was in Vegas.
Yeah, it's come up a lot. I don't think it's at 100% by any means, but it has come up a lot, and which is part of the cycling process that the whole country goes through. There are very dry years and there are very wet years. And the El Nino winter had something to do with that. But the winter before that was a La Nina winter, which was also very, very wet. So you can't take some of these ocean patterns and say, this is exactly what's going to happen. Everyone is different, just like every weather event is different.
You know, you are top of mind. Anytime I see some crazy weather, dust storm in the Middle East or whatever, but I saw the flooding in Dubai. And, there's a lot of, it's so funny. My wife pointed out that Instagram reels are not real sometimes. So you got to be careful. But all the flooding, I thought of you and I thought, man, Dave would know something about this because they're talking about the cloud seeding technology in the desert and all that stuff. It interested you, though, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I love seeing weather video around the world. It really brings everything in a little bit closer. But, just some wicked thunderstorms that got parked right over the city. And so it rained and it rained and it rained and the storms trained. So they were going over the same area time after time. And they got, a couple of years of rain in one day, something like that.
Well, Dave, I tell you, man, we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time, and we will be looking forward to that summer forecast, although I'm guessing the first thing we need to do is probably check our air conditioners if you're
which is correct. Yeah, well, this time of year, it's always a good thing. We've had up and down temperatures here, as far as the spring is concerned. We've had some hot weather well into the 80s to near 90. We've had some very cool weather where daytime highs have been in the 50s. So you don't think about that so much, but this is the time to check the AC units, make sure they're running. And even if you think it's running fine, you should always get a little checkup. It doesn't cost very much.
Bart Inman says, call him.
That's right. There you go.
He's a great supporter. just call
or
me.
Or Brian Eggers.
Any of our fine retailers and advertisers.
There's lots of companies that help us out.
There are. Well, Dave, thank you so much. And if you're a gardener, make sure you have plenty of water on hand. Maybe collect some of that with rain collection bins and stuff. Because if it's going to be that
rain
hot.
Barrels. Love them. Love them.
Absolutely. Yep, good stuff. Well, great to have you on, Dave. Thank you. Always a pleasure to have you.
You got it. Anytime. Take care.
You bet. Absolutely. Meteorologist Dave Murray there giving us a little bit of a preview for the spring. I don't know what's left of the turkey season and getting into this very hot summer. No doubt about it.
Yeah, he's such a class act.
Man, I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, but you're looking to Bo hosting the next couple of weeks.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. A little vacay for me, Bo Matthews. I'll see you back here in about 2 weeks.
Enjoy your trip. Safe travels, my friend. Take a lot of pictures.
I will send them all back for sure. That'll do it for this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.